Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, broadcasting from the pulpit of sports radio in Boston, it's Sunday Mass with Christian Arcan on WEEI.
With the third pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina.
Good morning, welcome in. This is Boston Sports Original WEEI. I'm the Reverend Arcan. Welcome to the Sunday service. Nice to have you with us here today on a very pleasant Sunday morning. And a very busy sports weekend here in the Commonwealth. Patriots draft is complete. We'll start there. The Bruins and the Celtics, both with big wins last night. The Red Sox with the just pantsing of the Chicago Cubs. This Red Sox team that keeps getting bad news and then keeps somehow winning games, which I don't really get. But let's start where the heartbeat of the city is right now. The heartbeat of the Boston sports fan. And that is, of course, soccer. Because as you all know, when it comes to Boston, there was a time where Boston was just a hockey town in the 70s, right? Boston Bruins ran the whole city with Daisy Buchanan's and everything else. It was all about the Bruins. In the 80s, it was more about the Celtics, Red Sox in the 90s, and the Patriots in the 2000s, and then the 2010s and the 2020s. And now, of course, it is all about not even the team here, but about this one player who plays for the Miami Sound Machine we saw yesterday over at Gillette. Lionel Messi and Inter Miami. Is that the name of the team?
Correct.
Inter Miami. They really have dumb names in soccer, can I say? It's just Inter Miami. What is that? That's stupid. Or FC. We know you're an FC. You can just call yourself your name. Why do they insist on being so pretentious with their names in soccer? I really don't like that. You were at the game, Nico.
I was.
How was it?
It was an excellent game. Messi was great. The Revolution, obviously not very good. But I will say, again, that goal in the first minute was pretty electric. It's the first time I've been in a stadium with 65,000 people actually jumping up for the Revs. Of course, all those same people jumped up when Messi scored as well. Little surprised he played the full 90, to be honest with you.
It being all right, turf. I don't care. I don't care about this. 65,000 people were there.
Yes.
That's like a Taylor Swift crowd.
It is a Revolution record attendance now.
I'm sure it is.
Yep.
I'm sure that that's right. The only reason I'm starting here, the one reason why I feel like it's important to at least acknowledge what happened last night down at Gillette, during playoff games. During a Celtics playoff game and a Bruins playoff game, both of which were pretty important games, all right? I mean, the Bruins are up 2-1. That was a split series there in Miami. Both the teams won, and they won by a lot. Everybody won by a lot yesterday, it seemed like, including the Miami Sound Machine. Everybody won by a lot. But the reason why I'm even pointing this out, the reason why I'm even starting here at all, partially as a joke, but also because you think the Crafts didn't take notice of that? You think the Crafts didn't take notice of the fact that that place was ass to elbows in capacity? I mean, people were getting turned away. 65,000 people were in there, not even to see the team that they field, to see one player on the other team. And I just think in the wake of this NFL draft, an incredibly important NFL draft for your New England Patriots, that's somehow pertinent to the proceedings. Did the Patriots just draft their next guy, not Lionel Messi, obviously. I don't think that Drake May is going to be one of the greatest players of all time. But they did just have the greatest player of all time playing that exact same position. And he built that place. All right? I mean, let's be honest here. Tom Brady built that place into what it is now. There's no way. The amount of just sheer TB12 stuff that moved out of the pro shop, you know, paid for most of the things there. I mean, it's just that's a fact of life. One that we've all learned. Well, maybe not all of us. some of us, not us maybe, but people over in the offices down there trying to take more credit from that than maybe they should, which we'll talk about Bill Belichick and his week. And unusual feeling I had while watching him with Pat McAfee. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Drake May, the leader of your team for now. I mean, we'll see if he actually wins the job. We'll see if he's actually given a chance to compete for the starting job. We had Dan Orlovsky on Friday. And Dan is, you know, has some wild takes sometimes. But his thing was there shouldn't even be a QB competition with Drake May. They shouldn't even compete. This should be Jacoby Brissett's job, and he only loses it if he gets hurt. And that's the only way I want to see Drake May. I don't want to see him in there. He's your second quarterback, and he should be all year, and that's the way it should go. And that's, you know, that's the bottom line. Because Dan O said so. And he's not alone. We took a poll on Friday asking how much do you, the fans, think Drake May should play this year? And 60% of you said he should sit all year. All year. I feel like that's not going to jibe, all right? I just, you know, first of all, I think a lot of you are lying. I think you're all just kind of lying to yourself. If you really think that you're going to be watching this Patriots team through a month into the season, after what we saw the year before, by the way, and even the year before that, when the offense started to really come apart, if you're sitting here right now on April 28th telling me, yeah, you know, I think he should sit the whole year. I don't need to see Drake May. I think it's really important that we bring him along and coach him up and all that. That's going to only work if he sits the first year. Are you telling me that on October 1st, a month into the season, when Jacoby Brissett's out there throwing the Kendrick Bourne and Juju Smith-Schuster and, you know, the rookies and everybody else, who we'll also talk about here because these rookie wide receivers already have me a little excited. One of them does, anyway. You're not going to be asking to see Drake May? You're not going to be demanding to see Drake May? Really? Patriots fans, you're going to be patient? I know that's not true. I know that's not true because we don't have Tom Brady anymore. There was a 20-year period where you did not have to worry about stuff like this. You didn't think about it. You never once thought, you know what, the other guy should be playing instead of Tom Brady. No one ever said that. No one ever thought that. But the guy before Brady, the star of the first two episodes of the Dynasty documentary, Mr. Drew Bledsoe, who was great in that, by the way, he ended up looking like a hero. One of the only people who did in the whole thing, by the way. Drew Bledsoe, in the 90s, was considered a good, not great quarterback, but one that had the potential to be great, and he wasn't quite hitting that potential. I'm paraphrasing a lot here just in the interest of brevity. They had a backup quarterback on the team the year before, or 2 years, I think, before Brady got drafted, named Michael Bishop. And Michael Bishop ended up playing like in the Arena League or something. But he was this big athletic guy with a big cannon arm. He could run around, and he never played. I think he played like a couple of games. But when I tell you that Patriots fans at the old stadium on the old cold long benches, Patriots fans would be screaming for Michael Bishop, demanding Michael Bishop go into the game for Drew Bledsoe. And this was when the team wasn't very good, by the way. So that's why the calls and clamors were for it. The Patriots would be eliminated from playoff contention. Everybody's screaming, hey, Pete Carroll, put in Michael Bishop. And he rarely ever did. But that doesn't mean that people weren't constantly demanding it. And now you mean to tell me 20-whatever years later that Patriots fans as a group, as a monolith, have evolved so much that we're going to watch Jacoby Brissett out there and not demand to see the rookie that you picked third overall when you were screaming for Michael Bishop to play over Drew Bledsoe? I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. I think you're lying to yourself. You're lying to me when you call and say these things. You're lying to the Twitter poll. You're lying to the Lord. All right? And you know it. You know you're going to want to see him. You know Jacoby Brissett is not someone you want to see starting all year. Come on. And I like Jacoby Brissett. I think he's going to have a good role on this team. I do wonder now that they've drafted two quarterbacks exactly how that's going to work. But, hey, fine. Maybe they just have a big, giant quarterback with four or five quarterbacks. They could be like the Falcons, you know? Just hoard all the quarterbacks and see what happens. With Bazooka Joe there in the sixth round. Which, by the way, kind of like that. No offense to Bailey Zappi, because I don't think that's good news for him. But if they're going by the Dan Orlovsky method of no competition, well, it seems like there's a lot of competition right now. Not only do they have a veteran that's playing ahead of May, supposedly. We'll see what happens when when camp starts. But not only do they have a veteran to challenge him, they drafted another quarterback later on in the draft. And not a super polished one either. Another project. Another guy with a big arm and fundamental skills, you know, sort of raw skills and maybe a little less on the technical side. And now he's going to be in camp too. So you have Jacoby Brissett, the third overall pick, and a long shot guy who's got a lot of raw skills but isn't exactly, someone that was being talked about in the upper rounds of this draft. It's an interesting little room you put together there, Elliot. It's an interesting little QB room you got there. But I'll say this. Whatever the plan is, whatever they're actually thinking is going to happen here and the way this is all going to work, Drake May was drafted to be the QB of the future. He was drafted to be the QB for a long time. And I think that's obvious. You don't pick somebody at three and put them into some sort of weird competition where they could lose out. You know, I don't think that's really the way this is going to go. There's one thing I really like about Drake May. Two things. I like his personality. He's an easy guy to root for. He's sort of a fun guy to listen to. Very excitable. Very different from Mac Jones. Not that I disliked Mac Jones. I liked Mac. I liked Mac too. But he's a lot different from him. And I think maybe a little more personable. A little easier to relate to. A little more likable. So two things. I like that. I just sort of think he comes off as a good guy. And his coaches have said good things about him. Mike Reese wrote about that today. I'll get to that in a second. But the other thing I really like is that he didn't really have much talent around him in North Carolina. Not this past year, anyway. The year before, he had more. And he had a good run game. But in terms of, like, weapons people to throw to, the line wasn't great, and he didn't have a lot of big-time playmakers. There's the kid that got drafted by Baltimore, Walker, I guess. I forget his name. Devontae Walker. He's fine. I don't think he's going to have a big career in the NFL. I also thought it was interesting the Patriots could have had him and decided not to, but again, we'll get to that in a second. But in general, I sort of like the idea that Drake May came from North Carolina in the era of the NIL, not the biggest program in the world, had that big sophomore season, and then decided, you know what, I'm going to stay here. And he had reason to stay here. He's got like a legacy at that place with his dad and his brothers and sort of everybody else, but he did stick around. And had a good year, not a great year. His numbers did go down. But he had a pretty good year with less talent around him. And I think that that is a very good precursor to what his life in New England's going to be like. I hate to say it. That's a very crowded room full of wide receivers over there with guys making money that you're going to have a hard time moving, like Juju Smith-Schuster and other guys like that. And they have a lot of people in that room now with two more rookies. And I'm not sure any of them, I don't know how good any of them are going to be this year. I still think Kendrick Bourne's probably your number one guy. So, on some level, I feel like Drake May coming from UNC without much talent around him is going to be like, oh, yeah, this is just like college. This is just like me at my best. I can work with this. And there is something to that. I mean, Mac Jones, one big complaint about him was that, well, he came out of Alabama, but if he doesn't have elite talent around him, if he doesn't have Henry Ruggs and he doesn't have Jalen Waddle and he doesn't have Jerry Jeudy and John Metchie and these other guys, then he's not going to be able to really function that well in the NFL. And that was kind of true. His rookie year, he did good with Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar and, those guys. But it's sort of carried over. I mean, he didn't really surround him with much. He didn't give him much. You had opportunities to, and you opted not to, which I think was malpractice on the part of the Patriots. You know that this kid has really flourished when he's had all-world talent around him at wide receiver, and you just refuse to give him anybody like that? Smart. Yeah, real smart. It's weird that it didn't work out. I hope that they don't have that same kind of idea with Drake May. But with Drake May, at least, you can say, well, he had success without world-class talent around him. That UNC offense changed certainly from last year to this year. He lost his offensive coordinator. A couple of guys went to the league, and it just sort of was different. It was a change. And it affected him. But he didn't fall off the map. He didn't cry and complain about it, and he sort of stuck it out, and he was drafted third overall. So, I mean, that's one thing I sort of like about him. We'll get to these wide receivers. These are the guys you wanted, Polk and Baker. Tell you what, I wasn't thinking about Polk, but Mike Reese wrote about this as well. Looks like the Patriots maybe had their eyes on a couple other guys and ended up settling for Polk because they couldn't get a trade swung with the Buffalo Bills. We'll get into that as well. I believe this is a golden age of wide receivers, so I'm excited to see what these guys look like. And we'll talk about the other draft picks as well. We'll get into what Bill Belichick had to say about the Drake May pick. We'll talk with Tom King of the Nashua Telegraph. He'll join me at 12:30. He's seen every draft ever since the very first one. He was there with Plunkett. He was there with Bledsoe. He's been there for everybody. That may not be true about Plunkett, but he's very old and he's been around a long time. So he has a lot of knowledge and insight on the draft. We'll talk to him at 12:30. We'll also get to the Bruins and the Celtics. Of course, lots to get to with both of them and their big wins coming up in the series here and what to look ahead to and see. I think that you got a pretty good chance now of this goalie rotation being a thing of the past. I'm very excited about that. I hope they don't go back to it. We'll get to trending right now, and then when we come back, we'll hear from Bill Belichick on Thursday night. We'll talk about what maybe he would have done if he was still in charge, and we'll get into this plan that Elliot Wolf has for the team, and we'll get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Here's what's trending.
This is Sunday Mass on WEEI with Christian Arcand.
Well, again, a very talented kid, good size, runs well, has a good arm. Just he hasn't played very much. He really doesn't have a lot of experience, and he makes some big plays like this. This is an amazing play where he kind of throws going backwards, puts the ball right on the money.
Whoa.
And those are the highlight plays that you really like from May. You know, this is one where he just doesn't really finish the play. You know, he's got, you know, double coverage here on the slot receiver. He's got guys open inside and outside of the and just throws it into double coverage. So, again, he's going to need some work in reading defenses, reading coverages.
So that was Bill Belichick on Friday. It's Christian Arcand here, Reverend Arcand, Sunday Mass. We'll get to your phones here in just a second. It's 617-779-7937. Because I know a lot of people want to talk about Drake May, and I do too. People didn't like that clip. They didn't like Bill trashing on Drake May. And I'll just say this. I found myself agreeing with a lot of the things that Bill was saying. I had all those same fears about May going into the draft. And I think I'm reading the text line. I think people are misunderstanding the way I've been characterizing this. If you're going to draft a quarterback at three, then you have to play him, I think. I think that you have to at least try it out. You know, you have to see what you got. I don't know if he's going to start all year. I think maybe like a 50-50 split with Brissett makes some sense, but I don't think you sit him all year long. I just don't think there's any point to that. He's not sitting behind Aaron Rodgers. He's not sitting behind Brett Favre. You know, he's not even sitting behind Alex Smith. It's Jacoby Brissett. I don't think he needs to sit all year. But I am worried about what this is going to look like. I'm worried about dropping, and I have been this entire time. This is why I wanted to trade back. And it's not really even a critique of Drake May. I have my issues with Drake May, the player, I guess. I mean, you heard some of them there from Bill. Decision-making. His stats dropped off this past year. You know, there's some reasons to be – there's a reason he didn't go one or two. And, again, I like him. I think he's going to be a fun kid to cover. But, like, we're talking about how's the team going to look and how is he going to be with this offense. I don't know that any of these rookie quarterbacks are going to be good with this offense. I don't know how many present-day NFL quarterbacks would have been okay with this offense. This offense, which was, by the way, one of the worst ever last year, averaged under 14 points a game. I mean, people talk about this offense like it was just a normal NFL offense. It was almost historically bad. Them and the Panthers, they had two of the worst offenses ever last year. Okay? It's like, it's very, and the Panthers, at the very least, you can say, well, they were bringing their rookie along. And they had some problems going into that, too. They lost some players. They made that big trade. You know, like, they had some issues there, for sure. But the Patriots, they were year three of a rookie quarterback still on his rookie deal who was a Pro Bowler his rookie year. And they produced that offense. I mean, that's another part of the reason why it was hard to listen to Bill. It was hard to listen to him talk about, yeah, the Patriots really got needs at quarterback and wide receiver and tackle. And it's like, yeah, no kidding. They really do, Bill. You're right about that. But I'll say this. I felt bad for Bill. Not like I'm in some great place in my life that I have any right to, you know, look down at Bill Belichick or feel bad for Bill Belichick. It's not really about that. I feel bad for the way he was treated. I feel bad for the way this all went down and how – instead of coaching, which is what he wants to be doing and probably should be doing at this point, he's up there with Pat McAfee and that Mel Kiper impersonator. And, you know, he brought the big board out and it was his first time doing something like that. So I'd imagine there'd be a little bit of discomfort, but I just felt bad. I felt bad that here's what he's doing. And a big part of the reason why he's doing it, maybe, is because his old boss called around and told people don't hire him. Don't hire this guy. You can't trust this guy. Even if that was really true, I mean, I think that's a bogus thing to say in the first place about even a coach that you really felt that way about. Well, you can't trust them. This guy was there for 20 years. You didn't trust him? You kept him around long enough, and he won enough championships for you with help, obviously, and Tom Brady was a big part of it and all that, fine. But, you know, to then at the end of it say, put this documentary out just ripping the guy left and right for all sorts of different things. And then when he's out there looking for another job after you fire him, you call other owners and say, don't hire him. Don't hire this guy. Or you can't trust this guy. I thought that made Bill look very sympathetic. And maybe it's just, you know, for Patriots fans. I don't know. I don't know how he came off to other people. I was watching him and I thought that his info was good. I thought he was a little uncomfortable at first. At first there was no sound. But I thought at first he was kind of talking a little fast, seemed a little, you know, it was different from what he usually does. He's usually coaching and showing film and doing speeches and stuff like that. This was live TV in front of a big board with a bunch of goofballs standing around him. And it was just kind of, I don't know, it was just weird. And I remember watching it and just feeling bad. I felt bad for him. I felt bad that his old boss did him that way. I think that was really uncool. And it's made him into a more sympathetic figure than I think he was with the way the season went and everything else. I believe that. And I know I'm maybe just a bleeding heart over here, but it just speaks more to just how inappropriate and I think unconscionable it is for the Crafts to have done that, if you believe that story, which I know they've come out and denied it. Stacey James came out and denied it. But they had sources, they said, sources close to the Crafts who backed up all those things. And I just think that's a really rotten thing to do. And it made me feel for Bill. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones right now as we have a lot of people waiting to talk about the Patriots and their draft. We'll start with Jim in Hanover with a thought on Drake May. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Kristen, I love your takes, man.
Thanks, Jim.
I tell you, I wish I wasn't a Debbie Downer about the draft. I tell you, May looks like he has a lot of talent, but the kid is definitely green 100%. His footwork is horrible. He runs with the ball in his left hand, and the kid is not brought in. I think they get Brissett here. Honestly, when they when they got him, I think they honestly got him to start and play and then try and be a mentor. He just will not make it in the beginning. I ain't saying he can't make it in the NFL, but I'll tell you what, he's too green, and they won't play him much at all this year, and they wasted their picks. They got another quarterback. They needed an offensive line. Look at the Cowboys. The Cowboys drafted 4 offensive linemen. And I'll tell you what, that's what we needed to do, get as much offensive line, because we have parts and pieces that can make things happen for this team. But without this, they're going to waste a ton of money on next year and the next year after and the next year until they get somebody. That's all I got to say. You're awesome, my man.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that. Nice of you to say. The Patriots did draft some offensive linemen. It's not like they neglected the position. Their third-round pick, the tackle out of Penn State, Caden Wallace, Caden and Layden. They got a couple of offensive linemen named Caden and Layden. Caden Wallace, Layden Robinson. Layden Robinson from Texas A&M, an interior guard who went early in the 4th round. I didn't love that pick, and I don't know anything about Layden Robinson. It's not like I watched a lot of Texas A&M offensive line play this past year or noticed it or anything. It's not so much that I know anything about him specifically. It's just I didn't think interior offensive line, when you just drafted 3 guys in the interior offensive line last year and you're going back to that well again, it just sort of seems like, all right, you know, we need help on the ends. Like, the interior, I feel, at the very least, you got bodies there. And this is a 4th-round pick, so I'm not sure what, you know, they're expecting. They got Cole Strange. They got, you know, all these other guys. It's just, it seems, unless they can move them over, it seems a little much. Like, it seems like there's too many of you, you know? Right now you have Cole Strange, Antonio Maffey, City So, the Jake Andrews, and now this new kid, Layden Robinson, just in the interior. Seems excessive, doesn't it? Am I crazy? Like, it seems like a lot to add another draft pick to that, especially when your tackle situation is Connor McDermott, Mike Onwenu, and Okorafor. And that's basically it. They did draft Wallace, who was right tackle, played almost exclusively right tackle at Penn State. And they're thinking, yeah, we can move him over to left tackle, which, again, I don't think that's like a crazy idea. Maybe it'll work. But you got him there. You got Onwenu at right tackle. I just sort of feel like maybe that's something you double dip on. I don't think you need to go back to the interior lineman. Well, it just seemed like that was a little much. But you're right. I mean, the caller's right. They do have to improve the offensive line. And we'll see if these kids make much of a difference. 617-779-7937. Phil is in New Hampshire. He has a thought on Bill Belichick on the McAfee Show. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, Phil?
Happy Sunday.
You too.
Yeah, I think the people that are outraged by what Bill said about Drake May are the people that didn't watch the McAfee Show, because his breakdown of every single player was consistent. It was, I'll show you what they do good. I'll show you what they do bad. I'll show you what they need to work on. And in some cases, he even said how he would game plan against them. Mm-hmm. It was great. I enjoyed it. And also, you're 100% right about what happened with the sympathetic character that became Bill. Because if you go in the Twitterverse and just search Belichick, you will see that the court of public opinion has swung so badly in the smear campaign that ensued after he left,
yeah,
really backfired on the craft. They should have just kept it classy. And I like that Bill kept it classy. He hasn't said anything.
Yeah, that's true, Phil. He hasn't. He's writing that book. But I don't think that book's going to be what I want it to be. Definitely. I mean, maybe it will. But it seems like it's going to be about, like, I don't know, business or something, or like running a business. I don't know. Bill should do whatever he wants to do. He's got enough money. He's got enough, you know, he can retire. He can do anything he wants to do. I just don't think he wanted to be doing that show. I think that he enjoyed putting the board together and showing everybody the board and sort of going over his process and all that stuff. But I was watching that and going, okay, is he just showing everybody, like, if he's going to go back to coaching, he's now put on display exactly how he goes over all this stuff. And for years and years and years, Belichick never gave you anything. Belichick wouldn't give one single state secret out in 20-plus years here. And now all of a sudden he's got the whole big board out and he's telling you, yeah, this guy, he's got an injury thing and I don't like anybody from this college and blah, 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 going on and on about all these different things. I'm watching it going, whoa, okay, these are all, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed a peek behind the curtain into the process. You could tell Bill worked hard on that thing. I mean, what a football nerd he is. But you're right. In terms of the public perception, swinging back towards Belichick, if he is trying to get a job in the NFL next offseason, stuff like that I think is going to really help him. I think stuff like that is going to really help him. I think the Crafts are helping him by being such a-holes on his way out the door. And he may have, in some level, deserved it. I don't know. I'm not privy to all the information. Okay? I don't know why they're doing what they're doing. But I do know that they are very into the idea of being liked and taking credit and sort of making sure everybody knows who's in charge and all this other stuff. And I think that the framing of narratives is something that's very important to them, just like it's very important to John Henry. It's why he bought the Boston Globe. It's important to these guys. They know that their net worth is tied into how people perceive them. It's the way it is. I just think they're right. This has not gone well for the Crafts, and it's going well for Bill. I think people really enjoyed him on that McAfee show. I think a lot of people watched that, and they thought, you know what? This guy was done dirty by his old boss, and he's still got a lot to offer. And I think that that's going to help him out next offseason. We'll see. We'll see where everybody is. We'll see what the coaching situations are, how many vacancies there are. But he keeps doing that. He keeps going on with McAfee. I mean, I didn't find myself, like, when Bill wasn't talking, I didn't find myself glued to the TV. Anybody else? Like, I like Field Yates, and he, like, popped in and was doing stuff. But that's the other thing. There was just plain old too much stuff to watch during the draft. There's too many options. I listened to Rich Keefe and Andy Hart and Shime, and that's it. I'm trying to switch around. I'm trying to listen to ESPN. I watch ESPN's coverage, ABC's coverage, NFL Network's coverage. Pat McAfee with Bill Belichick, NBC Sports Boston with, you know, Holly and Felger, all those people. It's impossible. Ted Johnson's up there. Just everybody's got a show. Everybody's covering the draft. Everybody's on at the exact same time. I only have two ears and two eyes. I wish I could do more. You know what they should have? And they don't have it. I was annoyed by this. So I have YouTube TV and they have the multi-view. You know what I'm talking about, Nico? Which they have for sports. You can put like a different sport on each quadrant of your screen. But they didn't have the draft as an option. I wanted to watch the draft and the Bruins, or I wanted to watch the draft and the Celtics, and they didn't count the draft as a sporting event, so I couldn't put it in the multi-view. Got to fix that. Got to fix that, YouTube TV. The draft is a sport. It's basically a sport. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Rondo in Rhode Island. Hello, Rondo.
Hey, hello. Good morning. How you doing today?
Morning. What's up?
I've been a longtime Patriots fan, but I really have to admit I'm not a fan of this year's draft. I would have traded down with Minnesota to get the number 11 pick, I think number 23, in the next year's possible top 10. Mm-hmm. If I would ask you or the listeners, is there anybody in this draft that they could see really improving in any position at all this next coming year, what would we say? Or who would we say would be able to do that?
Who's in college football right now is going to be drafted next year, you mean?
No, next year's NFL draft, we would have got Minnesota's probably top 10 pick,
right?
In my opinion, and we would have had two top 10 picks. I don't think Patriots are going to do very well this year.
I don't think so either, Rondo. Thanks for the call. I understand what you mean. In terms of next year's college crop, I'm not going to pretend like I know. It's hard to say that. I know who some of the players are. I know my Colorado Buffalo's got a couple of guys: Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter. I'm interested in seeing where they go. I always love it when the Patriots get a Buffalo on their team. But regardless, I'm not going to try and jump ahead and say I know what it's going to look like. I just don't think anybody does. I don't think anybody's really set on this. This is a good QB draft, and I think that next year's isn't expected to be as good as this one. But that doesn't always mean anything. Sometimes guys emerge out of nowhere. You know, someone might have a big season this year. And I'm not even talking about Sanders as much as I like my Buffaloes. I mean, it could be anybody. There's all this realignment going on. There's been a ton of transfers. Like, there's a possibility that we could have a very unusual college football season. So I'll leave it at that. I'm not gonna sort of jump ahead. But I do think that as far as this draft is concerned, just on paper anyway, I like it. On paper, I like the draft. It's not they didn't do exactly what I wanted to in terms of how they spent on the third overall pick. But they did get a quarterback. They did get wide receivers. They did get offensive line help. They made all offensive picks. Every single one of them except the kid from South Carolina. They drafted a defensive back in the sixth round, and that was the only non-offensive pick that they made. And I like that because they had to do that. They pretty much told you. They came out and said, hey, we're really going to try and make this team better through free agency, but we weren't able to do that, so we're going to have to do it all in the draft. They basically said that. We got outbid on Calvin Ridley, so we have to get wide receivers in the draft. We got Okafor, but we weren't able to get these other offensive linemen that we wanted in free agency, which, by the way, is all bullcrap. They could have had all those guys. They decided to push it to the draft, but at least they picked the right people, position-wise. I don't know if it was the right names, but it's the right positions. You needed a quarterback, you needed wide receivers, you needed offensive line help. You got it. How much better are they going to be next year? I guess we'll find out. But for the most part, you got something. Is the team better now? Is this team better than last year's team? That's a fair question to ask. I know that the draft just ended and we don't know what any of these guys look like in an NFL uniform yet. But when you push everything off to the draft, it's fair to ask that question. We know they didn't get better in free agency, right? Unless you really like Antonio Gibson and Austin Hooper, which if you do, good for you. I don't necessarily think that makes this team much better. They brought back a lot of their own guys from last year, which I think they would have gotten worse if they let them go, sure, but that doesn't mean they're better. Do you think this draft made the Patriots better? Simple question. I don't think so. I don't think it did. I think Drake May is going to be better than Mac Jones, but I think they're going to have some of the same fundamental problems on this offense, which is why I was against this whole way of doing it. I was against this whole way of just drafting a quarterback, plopping him down in the offense, and saying, good luck, kid. Hope you do better than the last one. It just seems like that's banging your head against the wall. It seems like the definition of insanity to me, just doing the same thing again with another quarterback who fell to you. And hoping that this time it goes different. How about this time you set it up a little bit differently? And at least with Mac Jones, you can say, well, they went on a spending spree that offseason. They did. They brought in Henry and Smith and Aguilar and Bourne and all these people. I mean, it wasn't – they did actually try. I didn't love that that offseason, but based on what they could go out and spend on, they spent. And then they never did it again. They said, that was it. We're never doing that again. And that sucks, but that's the unfortunate reality of where we are right now. Up, sorry, DeAndre Hopkins. Up, sorry, Calvin Ridley. Up, sorry, anybody that might help this team that we could trade for and then extend. We're probably just going to go stick with the draft. And then they go into the draft, they make a couple of picks at wide receiver, and we'll see what happens. I hope this is better than the year they drafted, what was the kid's name? Josh Boyce and Aaron Dobson, which I believe was a second and a fourth round pick. It was similar to this, right? Boyce and Dobson, I think, were a second and a fourth. So hopefully this goes better than that. Dobson was a great college player. He was not good in the NFL. Boyce, I don't think, ever played. And these guys, Jalen Polk from Washington, tough contested catch guy. I watched some of his tape yesterday. And Javon Baker from the University of Central Florida, who is, we'll talk about him a little bit later. I have a feeling this guy is going to have some good quotes. And it's going to be really interesting with a guy like him, who already said what he said. If you missed it, he had a very funny quote, which we'll play for you in a little bit. Bill's not here anymore. Guys can be themselves a little bit more. That's going to be really weird. That's going to be really weird to have guys with personalities on the Patriots, wearing Patriots uniforms and the flying Elvis on the side of their helmet, just saying whatever they want to and like being themselves after the game. That is going to be jarring. And I'm looking forward to it. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, the Boston Celtics made a statement last night in Miami. We'll get to it right after this.
This is Sunday Mass with Christian Arcand on WEEI.
Tell me what confidence you can instill in your fan base that may not believe that you guys had a legitimate shot.
I think we believe. It's everybody else that don't. If I got to hear one more praise about Boston on national TV when we win a game, I'm tired of hearing that, man. It's 1-1. We're going to go up 2-1. See y'all later, Pete.
Two Jays go for 22 apiece. Jaylen Brown, 22 points, 8 rebounds. Jason Tatum, 22 and 11 with 6 assists. And the Boston Celtics, a 20-point win.
So that was more like it last night, I'd say. Celtics destroy the Miami Heat. Hold them to under 85 points. And you can tell the first quarter, it was the Heat put 12 points up in the first quarter. That was a white flag. They were not ready to play in that game. It's Christian Arcan here, Reverend Arcan, Sunday Mass. Nice of you to join us today. Celtics dominant. I'd like to think that they've learned something from that Game 2 debacle where they didn't play good defense and they let Miami shoot a ton of open threes. You definitely didn't see that last night. Miami was struggling to get open shots off, and I think that all in all, you have to look at what the Celtics did defensively and be happy with it. They held them to 42% from the field and just under a third of their three, 9 of 28 from three-point range, which isn't great, but, I mean, the Celtics shot worse. Celtics shot worse from three last night, and it didn't matter. So that was nice to see. It was also nice to see them deal with that zone defense, which they started off in, Miami did, and then suddenly realized, all right, this isn't working and we can't score. So they tried some other things. They were in man a couple times. They were in like a 3-2 zone I saw a couple times. They had some that what's the guy's name with the big nose on the Heat? Nikola Jovic? Fake Jokic, basically, I call him, with the big honker. That guy's got a nut. Nomar Garciaparra doesn't have a nose like that guy. Watch in the game, like you see him running up the court, his nose is over half court before he is. And he's playing well, by the way. He's a pretty good little player, that guy. Little player, he's like 6'11". But 15 points for him, and I thought that, you know, defensively they're using him in some interesting ways. But it didn't matter last night. The Celtics were just too much for that Miami Heat team. And you could see it. You could see the Heat getting kind of run into the ground. Over and over again with backdoor cuts, give and goes with Porzingis. How many times did he get the ball at the top of the key, and then Derek White or Jaylen Brown or somebody just, boom, cut to the basket, they're wide open, and Porzingis hits him with the pass. I thought that was really well executed for the majority of that game. It didn't really seem like the Heat ever had a – it was a wire-to-wire beatdown is what you saw last night. Have they learned anything? Will we see another game like Game 2 for the rest of these playoffs, for the rest of this series? I wonder if that's something that they're going to have to keep on dealing with, if that's going to be something that continues to rear its head. Taking your foot off the gas. We got this. We don't have to go all out. We don't have to close out on these three-pointers. We're fine. It literally took this team one game in the postseason to take their foot off the gas. So forgive me if I'm not completely over all this after a Game 3 win. I was happy to see them win. They won by 20 points. That's how much they won Game 1 by. Do they come out in Game 4 and continue with this, or do they come out in Game 4 like they did in Game 2 and said, oh, yeah, they're not going to shoot those threes again. We're fine. We can coast to another victory. Let's just make sure that we're, you know, not overexerting ourselves. You know, like, that's been a problem with this team every year in the playoffs, it seems like. Losing to teams they shouldn't lose to, and I thought this year was going to be different. This Miami team, they really shouldn't lose ever to. That Game 2 was pathetic. But I'd like to believe that they've turned the corner with this team. And while I did enjoy Jimmy Butler and his Mickey Mouse haircut, and I'm not saying, like, it was a childish haircut, he actually looked like Mickey Mouse. Guaranteeing a win there. I think that was a nice statement win there by your Boston Celtics in Miami, not letting them get plucky, not letting Caleb Martin go out there and, you know, embarrass you again. Martin had a rough game. Adebayo was pretty good, but, you know, Hero didn't play well. And in all, they just, you know, had trouble getting their offense going. I think the Celtics have nothing to worry about in this series. But I've thought that before. What are your expectations for these Celtics now for the rest of the playoffs? Part of me looks around the league and thinks, you know, this might be their toughest series. Like, if they don't end up getting the Knicks, if the Sixers come back, the Bucks, who knows if Giannis is going to be playing, what the deal is there with him. I'm sort of watching this series and thinking, you know, the Heat aren't good or anything, but they are scrappy and they are well coached. And I wonder, like, is that going to be something they have to deal with these teams later on in the series? I'm not sure about that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's just get by Miami first, and then we'll have that conversation. All right, to the phones we go. David is in Florida. He wants to talk about the Joe Milton pick from the Patriots. Go ahead, David.
Good morning, Arcan.
Morning, David.
Good morning. First, before I get to Milton, I do like that pick quite a bit. I want to ask you one quick Red Sox question.
Shoot.
Is that all right?
Yep.
Thank you. with all the defensive worries we have with them, what do you think? There's one player out there that's played for the Red Sox before that could make a great, that could be of great value to them. What do you think about signing Iglesias?
Jose Iglesias? David, yeah. I'm against it. I'm against it, and I'll tell you why. Jose Iglesias was a jerk to me once. This is a true story. Nico, do you know the story? Have I told you this?
I do not.
Okay. I've told the story on the air before, so apologies if you've heard it before. When Jose Iglesias was a prospect in Pawtucket at the time, it was before they moved to Worcester, he was called up, I believe it was the year, it was the Bobby Valentine year. So whatever year Bobby Valentine was the manager, I guess it was 2012, I want to say. Is that right? Yeah. So the Bobby Valentine year, I was working in New Hampshire at a station called WGAM. It was ESPN New Hampshire, and it was where Keith worked before he worked here, or before he worked at the other station. Mutt worked there. Like a lot of people who worked here or ended up working in Boston started off at this place in New Hampshire. And I was there. I was doing afternoons with this guy, Tom King, who you're going to hear in about 40 minutes. So, yeah, we'll have a little ESPN New Hampshire reunion here in just a few minutes. But anyway, I was supposed to cover an appearance that Iglesias was making at a Hannaford's up in Manchester. So the reason for it was because Hood is the official ice cream of the Red Sox and Fenway, and they were coming out with like a new flavor, like a Green Monster flavor, whatever it was. It was a new Hood ice cream Red Sox related flavor. And this was at a time in my life where I was working in radio. I wasn't making a lot of money, so I drove up to the grocery store. It was like 11 a.m. My show didn't start until 2. And I drove over to the grocery store that morning, and I hadn't eaten anything. And so they had a bunch of little cups of ice cream out. And after I interviewed Iglesias, and it was just sort of a, hey, how are you kind of interview. And he's a little guy, by the way. Like I was considerably bigger than him. And so I interview him, and then I see the ice cream over there. I go over. I hadn't eaten anything all day. And I go over and I just start like housing little cups of ice cream. And there's like, you know, kids and stuff there. And their parents are like, a little early for ice cream there, Sally, or whatever. And they see me, this adult, just go, wah, 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 just eating the ice cream. And Iglesias sees me and he walks over and he's like, whoa, whoa. And I was like, oh, hey, Jose, what? And he's like, I was like, what's up? And he pats me on the stomach and he goes, mixing a salad there, buddy. I was like, ouch. Ouch, Jose. You know, first of all, this guy's in pretty good shape. Jose Iglesias, a professional athlete, fat shaming me for eating ice cream for breakfast. I did not care for that. I'm very body positive. I'm very image positive, very inclusive. I would never shame somebody for the way they looked, like a guy on the Heat with a big nose. I would never do that. I would never make fun of someone for that. So I am against Jose Iglesias rejoining the team because I'm worried he's going to make fun of me again. And I admittedly been trying to lose weight. It's hard to do. And I'm not like a big fat guy or anything, but you know, it's hard. You got to keep it together. And compared to Jose Iglesias, I'm Dom DeLuise. So it's like, you know, I don't need that in my life. I don't need that negativity in my life. What if I'm walking over to do the show over at Fenway and Iglesias is warming up and he sees me and he's like, hey, chubby or whatever, you know, like that's not something I want to see. He might help the team, but you asked me what I think of it. I don't like it. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the Bruins. I know we just had the hockey show. They did a great job. I just have a couple of thoughts on the Bruins I want to get to, and I'll get to the rest of your phone calls as well. It's coming right up.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.